If you have your Bibles there, I'm going to just read a few verses from the Old Testament, from the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 33. It's a book that's often neglected, Ezekiel's prophecy. So if you turn to your Old Testament, you'll maybe reach the book of Psalms, the largest book in the Bible, and head towards the New Testament. You'll get to Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then the prophecy of Ezekiel, just before you come to Daniel and then the minor prophets. So it's Ezekiel tonight, chapter 33. And I'm just going to read from the 7th verse of the chapter, verse 7 to 11 of Ezekiel chapter 33. Our title tonight for this message is very simply, Roadblocks on the Road to Ruin. Roadblocks on the Road to Ruin. Let's hear the Word of God. Ezekiel 33, verse number 7. God says to His servant, the prophet Ezekiel himself, "So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus he speaks, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Let's just seek the Lord together in prayer. We know God will bless the reading of His Word, and it's so good to see you gathered in tonight, and we want you to pray with us and pray that the Word of God will speak into our hearts and draw us to the Savior. Let's unite our hearts, please, in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for every individual gathered within these walls. We rejoice, O God, for the Word of God itself opened and read publicly. And we thank Thee now that we can come before Thee, the God who has inspired this book, and pray earnestly and humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou wouldst be pleased, O God, to send Thy Spirit, send the Holy Ghost, O God, to open hearts tonight. And we pray, O God, that there will be those who will turn and turn from their sins and turn to the Savior and enter into newness of life. Lord, I pray for a heart like the Savior's. Give me Calvary love and compassion, and grant, O God, that everything will dovetail together for Thy glory. And may this be the night of somebody's conversion. Hear and answer prayer, and continue with us now, we humbly pray, in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ certainly spoke very clearly about a place of ruin for those who live and die without Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have been thinking about some of those issues in recent weeks, and in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, as the Savior was concluding the Sermon on the Mount, He spoke about a place of destruction. A place of destruction. And you know, there is a place of destruction for many people in time who live without the Savior, who live in their sins and don't heed the Word of God and go their own way. Many have discovered to their own sadness and loss that they become held by their own sins and cannot break free. And they have discovered that the way of the transgressor is hard. The word of God said to the children of Israel in the book of Hosea, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And maybe you're here this evening, or maybe you're listening in online, and you are a testimony to that truth, that your sins have destroyed your life and robbed you of happiness, robbed you of hope, maybe even robbed you of health itself. And you find yourself tonight destroyed because of your sin. Sin can destroy us in time, but certainly sin can destroy us in eternity. Because the Bible says that there is a place of destruction for those who die in their sins. So our Lord spoke about a place of destruction, a place of ruin. And He also spoke about the road that leads to ruin. He said that wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Many people tonight are traveling on the broad road. A road that leads away from God, and a road that leads to ruin. And as the Savior spoke about that broad road, He didn't make any mention of class, or creed, or color, or religion. He simply said there are many, many people that are walking in that broad road that leads to destruction. But you know, the lovely truth of the matter is tonight that the God of the Bible is long-suffering. As God revealed Himself through the prophet Ezekiel to the children of Israel in that then generation, He declares emphatically, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? God is long-suffering, and God delights in mercy. And He says here, I take no pleasure at all in the death of the wicked. And so I invite you, and I call you, and I reveal it as my will, that you would turn from your ways, and turn from your sins, and enter into newness of life. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Turn unto me and live. And if you're not a Christian tonight, and you're not converted, that is God's word for you. Why will ye die? Turn unto me. Or in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, we read the words that the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Romans chapter 10 and 21, the Lord says again, all day long I have stretched out my hands. All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Jesus Christ our Lord, as He stood over the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says He wept over that city and said to them, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Matthew's Gospel says in chapter 9 that whenever Jesus Christ beheld the multitudes, He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And there's everything in the Word of God tonight to encourage us that Jesus Christ is willing and able to save all that come unto God by Him. And I believe tonight that yes, there's a place of ruin. Yes, there's a road that leads to that place of ruin. But I'm persuaded as well, as I read the Word of God, and even from personal experience, that God in heaven has put many roadblocks on that road that lead to ruin. And maybe tonight you're on that road and God has put up in your life roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And this meeting tonight is another roadblock for you. If you're not yet saved, a roadblock on the road to ruin. And I want to consider tonight five roadblocks that God has put on your pathway in order to stop you on that road that leads to destruction and on that road that leads to a lost eternity. Five roadblocks on the road to ruin. What are these five roadblocks that we're thinking about this evening? Well, I believe the first roadblock is the instruction of the Word of God. Maybe the biggest roadblock that God has put before sinners on the road to ruin is the Bible, the Word of God itself. This book that we have in our hands tonight, that for generations now has been the world's bestseller, is God's roadblock on the road to ruin. And in this land of ours, in this province, in this locality, it's perhaps very difficult to get away from the Word of God. There are preaching churches and preaching halls right across our province. There are open airs and evangelists and gospel missions and Bible verses nailed to trees. Men going out and women as well, spreading the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, giving out gospel tracts and gospel literature. And some of you tonight in the meeting, you have been born into a home where the Word of God has been placed in your hand. And the Word of God has been sown in your heart. And the Word of God has been opened in your home. And God has raised up men and women to faithfully declare unto you what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God has to say. And so it was in the days of Ezekiel. God said, Son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. I want you to listen to my words, and then I want you to declare my words unto the children of Israel, and warn them, and exhort them to turn, and to come, and put their faith and trust in me. And maybe in your life, over your life's experience, God has placed many faithful watchmen in your pathway on that road that leads to a lost eternity as a roadblock to invite you to turn and trust in the Savior. The instruction of God's Word. And you've been instructed through the Word of God, through the Bible, as to who God is. You're not in ignorance that there's a God in heaven. You might even know that this one true God is revealed in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you know that God is the Creator. You know that God is eternal. You know that God is righteous and true and holy. And you know as well that God is merciful and gracious and loving. And God has provided for you a Savior. And you can even quote some of the great Bible texts, John 3 and verse 16. Or what about Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And all these great gospel texts that you have learned from your mother's knee or maybe in a Sunday school class are roadblocks on the road to ruin. You've been instructed. And not only have you been instructed, but some of you as well have been faithfully warned about the consequences of living and dying in your sins. The Bible says that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And you have been well instructed by a loving Sunday school teacher, maybe a children's worker, or even a parent, or a pastor, or an elder, or a Christian workmate or friend, or maybe even a husband or wife, or a son or a daughter, that there are consequences for sin in time. It brings bondage. It results in misery. It brings separation. But also in eternity, there are consequences for sin. And you've been instructed. And you've been warned. And you've also been exhorted to repent of your sins. To put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And even now, in this particular meeting, another roadblock is set up in front of you, exhorting you to trust in Jesus Christ. Don't go on another day in your sins. Because the road that you're on, if it's not God's road, it's a road that leads to ruin. And I want to ask you tonight, as we think about this first roadblock, the instruction of God's Word, will you avoid this roadblock? Will you evade this roadblock? Will you ignore this roadblock? Will you push it to one side and step over it and insist on going on in your own way? There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The first roadblock and the road to ruin is the instruction of the Word of God. But then there's another roadblock on the road to ruin. And that very simply is the intercession or the prayers of the people of God. The first roadblock, the instruction of the Word of God. The second roadblock, the intercessions of the people of God. One of the greatest blessings that you can have in life is to have God's people praying for you by name. One of life's great blessings is to know in your heart that there are people out there that care for me, that are concerned about me, that love me, and that are praying for my precious soul. And I can tell you tonight that there are people that are praying for you. If you're not a Christian, I dare say tonight that there are many people who have prayed for you. Some of them are in the glory tonight. And there are others who are still faithfully praying for your salvation. And that is one of the great blessings of life. The Word of God speaks about Lot and his wife and his sons-in-law and his daughters living there, tent pitched towards Sodom, then living in Sodom. We're not sure how long they were there. But all the while, Uncle Abraham getting to his place every day before God and praying for Sodom and praying for Gomorrah, but especially praying for the deliverance of Lot. And the Word of God says in Genesis 19 and 29, it came to pass that God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot, or sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. And maybe even now, at this very moment, there's a Christian praying for you, and it's a roadblock on the road to ruin. It may be the prayers of a local assembly, maybe a pastor that's prayed for you. Mr. Douglas, the Reverend Martin, maybe prayed for you for years. And this present pastor prays for you. If you're not a Christian, he prays for you that you'll come to faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody was testifying to me in the way in that oftentimes they wake up in the middle of the night and they begin to pray. And I can testify as well, there are times whenever sleep is taken from these eyes, and you find yourself praying for the unconverted that are connected with this church. Lord, would you save that man? Lord, would you save that woman? Lord, would you restore that backslider? Lord, would you draw that young person unto yourself? And it's a roadblock on the road to ruin. Pastor that prays. What about people that pray for you as well? Child of God tonight, I trust that you pray for the unconverted. I trust that you've got a prayer list. I trust that you give time during your week to pray for the unconverted. I trust that you endeavor to get along to a place where prayer is made. The sad truth is that some professing Christians never pray for the unconverted. And that's an awful thing. To be so selfish with our prayers. To pray for ourselves, which is right. And to pray that God will bless me and God will provide for me and God will bless my home and God will keep me safe and God will give me all of these great things and God will help me. Of course, we're to pray for ourselves. But isn't it a very selfish thing, if we're honest, for a Christian to have access to the throne of grace and never once lift their heart in prayer for the unconverted? Never once pray that God will step into that person's life and rescue them and redeem them and cleanse them and bring them to Himself and bring them into newness of life. But there are people tonight, I'm convinced, many in this church, that are praying for you and praying for your soul. And this very meeting, in part, the fact that you're here and you've got your faculties and you're under the sound of God's Word, this very meeting in part is an answer to their prayers. And God, in answer to prayers, putting up before you tonight another roadblock on the road to ruin. It may be the prayers of a local assembly, but it also may be the prayers of a loving family. Some of you have got peers tonight, friends and colleagues that are Christians, and they're praying for you. Some of you tonight have got partners, husband or wife, and they're praying for your salvation. They're praying for your conversion. The said of Pilate, whenever he was about to consign and condemn the Lord Jesus Christ to a cross, that his wife, who historians will tell us, had become a believer in Jesus Christ, she sent her husband a message and said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man." What she meant by that was, have nothing to do with his condemnation. They're crying out, "Crucify him." Pilate, have nothing to do with it. Don't send him to a cross. Don't reject him. Don't condemn him. There was a woman burdened for the soul of her husband. Maybe tonight you've got a wife like that. Maybe tonight you've got a husband, you're an unbeliever, and you've got a husband that loves the Lord and loves you so much that they pray for you continually. It might be a peer, it might be a parent, it might be a partner, it might be a father, it might be a mother, it might be both. There's scarcely a greater blessing than to have people praying for you. Certainly there's no greater blessing in life than a praying father or a praying mother. And yet some of you have heard and known that maybe for years your parents have been praying for you. You've maybe heard them pray for you. You've maybe seen them with their open Bible and their little prayer list. And you know they're praying for me. And you've tried to get away from God. And you're maybe listening in online and you're not even in the meeting. And you know that in this church or in some other church, there's a father, there's a mother, and they've been praying for you. Maybe they've gone on to glory. And I trust tonight that God will honor and answer their prayers. I'm so thankful tonight that I was born into a home where I had a praying mother. She wasn't a theologian, but she was a woman who knew how to pray. And I can still remember about 15 years ago, whenever I was ordained to the Christian ministry, she gave me a little card, and inside it there was a note. And she'd never expressed these words before, and she'd written in that little note, "I prayed for you from before you were born, that you would become a Christian, and that somewhere along the line God would call you into His service and use you for His glory." And I never knew that she prayed that prayer. But I'm here tonight as a Christian, a believer, in part in answers to the prayer of a godly mother. The Reverend Duncan Campbell of the Faith Mission, so greatly and so mightily used of God, had a remarkable conversion experience playing in a band hall outside the town of Oban in the lower highlands of Scotland. A little area called Benderloch was in his local dance hall, and he was up at the front with other men playing the pipes and the drums, and the dance hall was in full swing. And all of a sudden, his mind was transported far away. They were playing an old Highland song, "The Green Hills of Tyrol." And he says, "I began to think about another green hill. And I could hear the dull thud as they drove nails into the hands and feet of a man. They were nailing them to a cross." And he says, "I almost saw in my heart that cross uplifted. And suddenly," he said, "in a moment of time, I felt responsible, personally responsible, for the death of the Son of God." And he threw his bagpipes on the ground, and he got up and he walked out. And to cut a long story short, as he began that 3-mile journey to his house, he saw the church hall, there was a light on. And as he went to see what was happening, he heard a man praying. It was his father, praying for the conversion of his son. And then whenever he went home, there was a light on in the kitchen. It was after the midnight hour, and there was his mother, and she was nailed down beside the fire. And she was praying there and then for the conversion of her son. And Duncan Campbell went out into the barn and wept his way into the kingdom of God. And whenever he got off his knees, he was a new creature in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've had parents like that, that have prayed for you faithfully. Maybe they didn't get it all right. Maybe they made mistakes. Maybe you thought they were too harsh or too restrictive. But they loved you enough to pray for you. And it was a roadblock on the road to ruin. roadblocks on the road to ruin, the instruction of the Word of God, the intercession of the people of God. What about the intervention of the providence of God? God doing things in your life that have alerted you to your need of Him. Something happening in your experience that has stopped you in your tracks and caused you maybe temporarily to consider your ways. You know, the Word of God says that God is a God who acts providentially. I don't believe tonight in luck. I don't believe tonight in accidents. I don't believe tonight in choice. I don't believe tonight in fate. I believe tonight in a God that is sovereign. A God that is in control. My Bible tells me tonight in Ephesians 1 verse 11 that the God of heaven worketh all things together after the counsel of His own will. Nothing happens by chance. I believe tonight in the God who works all things together for good. All things together for the good of His people, and all things together for the glory of His own name. Jesus Christ said, not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father. And maybe in your life, there have been things that have happened, and you have acknowledged, even as Pharaoh did, this is the finger of God. And things that have happened in your life beyond your control, and you've had to acknowledge that must have been the hand of God. If we could only read providence aright, we would see God's hand in absolutely everything. But the sad truth is that because of sin, our spiritual vision has been completely eradicated. But there are some times whenever somehow we just know that was God. And maybe God has been working in your life. God has a plan and a purpose in all things. The country that you were born into. The community that you were born into. The family that you were born into. The church that you were born into. The opportunities that God has given you. The faculties that God has given you. The very thoughts, perhaps, that God has given you. And hasn't tonight, if you're honest, hasn't God been good to you? God has blessed you. God has preserved you. God has watched over you. There were times whenever you could have been cut off in the roads, and maybe you got frustrated and you were held behind a slow driver. Maybe you were held up in some type of roadblock or some type of thing, and it was the hand of God preserving you. God has blessed you, and God has kept you safe, and you've never really known what it is to go to bed hungry. And God has preserved your down-sitting and your uprising and your going out and your coming in. And God has preserved your body. And God has kept you from an illness perhaps that could have taken you out into a lost eternity and brought you to an early grave. And God has blessed you with a roof over your head and a family round about you. And God has blessed you with so many good things. What's the purpose of it all? The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4 that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And maybe you can still recall that first time whenever you held your first son or your first daughter in your arms and you acknowledged this is the gift of God. God has been so good. Maybe it was a grandchild and you've had to testify that God has blessed you and God has been good to you and you can see it in your own life. And you can testify in your own experience that God has been good to you. And then maybe there's been other things that have happened in your life that haven't been pleasant experiences. Sickness, bereavement, accidents or incidents or circumstances in your life. And you felt, I need God to help me. I need God to intervene. I need God to deliver me. I need God to answer prayer. And you've lifted up your voice and says, God, if you get me out of this, I'll think about becoming a Christian. I'll give you my life. And still you haven't turned from God, turned from your sin and turned to God. We read about the crucifixion of our Savior And as he was on that middle cross, there were two thieves crucified on either side of him. Was it just luck or chance that they were there? Or was God giving them one final opportunity to get right with God and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I tell you tonight, God has been working in your life. And maybe you haven't realized it. And God has so ordered events providentially that you're here tonight. And there's another roadblock put in front of you. The instruction of God's Word. The intercessions of God's people. The intervention of God's providence. And it'll never be God's fault if you end up lost, separated from God forever. But you know, I believe tonight there's a fourth roadblock. And maybe this is the greatest roadblock of all. Christ Himself. The invitation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the greatest roadblock to ruin that this world has ever known or experienced. Think tonight about the Savior's gracious words. The Bible says, never man spake as this man spake. His words were gracious. His words were clear. His words were unmistakable. The common people heard Him gladly. Often He spoke by way of warning, and we have thought about many of the Lord's warnings in recent weeks, warnings about judgment and hell and the lost eternity. We have considered as well over the years some of the Lord's great explanations as He explained and explained again the Word of God, and then many of the Lord's great invitations. Come unto Me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Come, for all things are now ready. And the Lord has invited you, hasn't He? And you've heard the Word of God before, and you've known Jesus Christ will save me if I come. He invites me to come in His Word. But you still haven't come. You've refused to trust in Jesus Christ. And you've evaded, ignored, and avoided all of these great roadblocks, His gracious words. But what about His glorious work? What about the cross tonight? His work upon the cross. You know, there were many reasons the Son of God died upon the cross. He died to atone for our sins. He died to appease the wrath of God. He died to remit and forgive our sins. He died on that cross to redeem us. He died on that cross to reconcile us to God. But He also died upon a cruel cross to demonstrate the love of God for us. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody once said, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ how much He loved me. And He stretched out His arms wide and died for my sins. Friends, God loves you tonight. So much so that He sent His Son to be a Savior. And on a cruel cross, this blessed man of Calvary was nailed hand and feet to a cross of wood to show you tonight that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Dr. R.A. Torrey, the great evangelist, in his book, Real Salvation, tells the story of a godly old man who loved God and he had an honorable name. And he had a prodigal son. And this young son went into the liquor business. He purposed in his heart that he would open a bar in the very town that he had been brought up in. The father came to his son with tears in his eyes and said, Son, you bear an honorable name. Please do not disgrace your name by putting it over a bar. But the son insisted on going his own way. He bought a bar. He put his name over the door. Opening day came. The father was first in line outside of the pub before the doors were opened. And he exhorted every person who was purposing to come in to the walls of that drinking house. He told every customer, turn away. Drink will ruin you. It'll destroy your life. It's the potential to wreck your home and your family. And if you continue on that road, it'll lead you to a lost eternity. The son was furious. He came out and said, Father, go home. You're ruining my business. The father still persisted and said, Son, I won't. I won't have your name dishonored. I won't have my name dishonored. I will stand here and warn every man to turn away from what you're doing. The son immediately lost his temper, struck the old man in anger, put him on his back. The old man got up on his feet once again. He had no retaliation at all. And he simply said to his son, Son, you can strike me as much as you will. You can kill me if you like. But he says, no man shall enter your bar unless they do so over my dead body. Dear friend, the Son of God laid down his life on a cruel cross. And that cross tonight stands as a roadblock to hell. And you will persist in your ways, perhaps. But you will do so over all of the invitations and exhortations of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will go to a lost eternity over the dead body of the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. Listen to what Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews. He says in Hebrews 10 and 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite to the Spirit of grace. Roadblocks on the road to ruin. The instruction of God's word. The intercessions of God's people. The intervention of God's providence. The invitation of God's Son. One last roadblock, the illumination of God's Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself. Perhaps you've been very conscious times in your life, whenever your heart was drawn to the cross, whenever you were convicted of your sin, whenever you trembled as you thought about a lost eternity, and you considered coming to Jesus Christ and putting your faith and trust in Him as your Savior. And you've recognized and acknowledged that somehow the Spirit of God has taken a dealing with your heart. You know, the work of the Spirit of God is broad and manifold. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a guide. But the Son of God said in John chapter 16, whenever He shall come, He shall reprove or convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And it may be that you have experienced that in your life. You have experienced the convicting power of the Spirit of God. You've sat in meetings like this and you've been troubled and you've been concerned, but you've ignored, evaded, and avoided that roadblock, like the people that the apostles spoke to there in Acts chapter 7, 51, whenever he said, as your fathers resisted the Holy Ghost, so also do ye. And maybe the Spirit of God has illuminated your conscience. The Spirit of God has caused you somehow to be awakened. You've almost tasted of the heavenly gift. And you've almost been a partaker of the very kingdom of God. And you've understood your need. And you've understood the consequences of sin. And you've understood something of the gospel. And you've understood the reality of dying in your sins. And you've been troubled, haven't you? You've been concerned. Hebrews chapter 3 says, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear His voice, then harden not your hearts. And maybe tonight the Spirit of God is striving with you again. That word strive in Genesis 6:3, it literally means wrestle. And the Spirit of God is wrestling with you. And you're wrestling with conscience. Wrestling with concern, wrestling with conviction. The Bible says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. Five great roadblocks tonight on the road to ruin. The instruction of the Word of God. The intercession of the people of God, the intervention of the providence of God, the invitation of the Son of God, the illumination of the Spirit of God. And now as the meeting draws to a close, you're going to have to ask yourself, now what am I going to do with yet another roadblock on the road to ruin? Am I going to ignore it? Am I going to evade it? Am I going to avoid it? Am I going to climb over it and push it to one side and hope that somewhere further down the line there might be another roadblock that I can't get by? Oh dear friend, tonight I plead with you with all of my heart. Receive Christ as your Savior. Stop the road that you're on. Turn around and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn ye, for why will ye die? They say that upstream on the Niagara River, before it reaches the great Niagara Falls, there's a large sign, and it simply says in that sign, the point of no return. And if people go past that sign, if they're out swimming or out in a kayak or some other thing, if they go past that sign, it'll be almost impossible for them to turn round and go against the stream and go against the current. And inevitably they'll be taken over the great Niagara Falls. And it's a sign, it's a roadblock if you like. Stop, turn around, don't go any further. Maybe this meeting tonight is a roadblock like that. Point of no return. Don't go on another minute. Don't go on another day. Don't go on another week. Don't go on another year without the Lord Jesus Christ. Roadblocks on the road to ruin. Listen, dear friend, tonight, Jesus Christ is willing to save, able to save all that come unto God by Him. Turn tonight and put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. May God bless you. Thank you for listening. If we can help you tonight or at any other time, please let that need be known. But don't leave without the Savior.